This meeting is now being recorded.
Just where you can start.
Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. As usual, we're going to try to be efficient and cover a lot of ground in the time that we have together. I welcome you to the call. As you know, I'm Justice Mariano Florentino Cuellar of the Supreme Court of California and chair of the Language Access Task Force. As you know, the meeting is being recorded. Before speaking, please state your name so that we can recognize you and place your phone on mute to minimize background noise if you're not speaking. Please don't put us on hold because it may trigger entertaining but disruptive music or pre-recorded messages. Believe me, I've been on calls where that's happened, and it's very funny, but it doesn't help us get our work done. So we didn't receive any public written comments prior to this meeting, and if we had, we'd have shared them with the full task force. And we welcome anyone from the public who's joining us today. So now I'm going to turn it over to Doug Denton for our roll call.
Thank you, Justice Cuellar. Judge Covarrubias. Naomi Adelson. Judge Austin.
Here.
Kevin Baker's on vacation. Justice Berniers. Hi, who just joined?
Scott Gardner.
Thanks, Scott. Tracy Clark is also on vacation. Judge Conklin. Judge Court. Anna Maria Garcia may be late. Judge Gard is not available. Susan Marie Gonzalez. Judge Hayashi.
Here.
Janet Hudak.
Here.
Alexandra Johnson. Joanne Lee.
Here.
Justice Marquez.
Here.
Yvette Pena.
This is John Conklin calling in. I'm sorry I'm late.
Hi, Judge Conklin. Yvette Pena.
Yeah.
Justice Renner.
Here.
Mike Roddy.
Here.
Janine Tucker. Dr. Valdez.
Here.
Jose Varela. Judge Walsh. Justice Zilon.
Here.
All right, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 members. I do not think we have a quorum.
Okay. Doug, what are our options? Does it make sense to proceed? My concern is if we have discussion and they get everything done, it won't serve the purposes we need it to serve.
Right.
This is Judge Rubio. Sorry for coming up late. I don't know if that helps out to make a quorum.
How close are we to a quorum?
I think we have 12 of 25.
Wait, do we need one more person?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And this is Judge Conklin. I called in late. You got me on that?
Right, I did.
Okay.
And this is there anybody who is going to – oh, Jose Varela we don't have, or we do have.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I don't know Robert's Rules of Order. Are you empowered to temporarily appoint someone who, as an advisory member?
I will tell you what I would like to do. I think that it would be ideal for us to be able to proceed. So let's just do another quick count based on Jose Varela having just joined us. And if we're one member off, I would appoint somebody, maybe you, Bob, to serve as an advisory member, and then we could see if we can make that work.
All right, sir.
If Jose, just are you on the line?
We have 13. Elizabeth just said we have Jose.
Yes, I'm on the line.
Terrific. Great. Fantastic. Great. You know, and I, you know, certainly if we didn't have a quorum and there was no way to get even close, I would not have us proceed. But just in consideration of all the folks who have put this on their calendar and tried to make it, I want to proceed, and I'm glad we have a quorum. So before we lose anybody, I'm going to keep on going and just give you a very brief update on what's been going on with the task force from my perspective, and then I'll turn it over to Judge Austin for some items that we'll discuss. and hopefully approve. We've had a very busy couple of weeks. We continue to make some headway following approval at our May 20th meeting of a bunch of stuff, including translation, educational products. I presented these items to the Judicial Council at the June 24th meeting. Justice Berniers joined me and made a compelling presentation on the video remote interpreting pilot project. And the council was very happy with the presentation. I received a lot of positive feedback afterwards. I'm pleased to share that the council approved the translation tools and the educational materials and also approved the VRI pilot going forward. I must say I was most encouraged by the fact that there were some thoughtful questions from the council that indicated to me that not only were they supportive of the broad concept of the task force's work, but they'd engage with the materials we'd put before them. They understand the need for us to maintain some balance between the focus on translation-related work and interpreter-related work. They get the role of VRI pilot. They understand why and how we need to be careful and cautious, but also why it makes sense to go forward there. So now we are continuing the work to add resources to the language access toolkit on the web. We are going to add the translation protocol, the translation action plan that was approved, the bench card on working with court interpreters, the bench guide outline, training curricula outlines for judicial officers and court staff, and the development plan for remaining materials. And then after our May 6 ITF call, we submitted 8 draft budget items, as you'll recall, to the Judicial Council Finance Office. And we're going to keep you posted as we hear information from them. I'm mindful of the fact that they have a lot of competing priorities, but I'm not shy, and they will continue to hear from me. And then we will continue to work with our subcommittees and all our members to identify areas that need continued funding. My sense is that the request that we made is an important piece of the strategy, but we'll keep on thinking about this because it'll inform our thinking about the budget for the year after this one coming up. I'm encouraged by the fact that the budget for the Judicial Council includes the Court Innovation Fund, and in the days and weeks to come, you'll be hearing from staff and from me as we try to work with subcommittees to think about what projects you might have are going to make sense to put forward as a potential proposal for that Court Innovation Fund. Any questions? If not, I'm going to turn it over to Judge Austin, who's going to discuss the draft complaint packet and court web content guidance materials.
And
Judge
and
Austin.
This is Terry Berniers. I apologize for being late.
Terrific. Glad you could join us.
Justice Clare, I'm sorry to interrupt. We do
yep.
need to approve the minutes.
Oh, that's right, the minutes. Okay.
Approve the minutes.
Do I hear a second?
Judge Covarrubias, I second.
Okay. Thank you. Covarrubias, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm always gratified to hear that the minutes have been approved. Judge Austin.
Hey, I'm here to talk now about the complaint packet that's in your materials. The members of the Budget and LAP Monitoring Subcommittee, and really the Judge Hayashi and Yvette Pena were the ones who were primarily behind it. It was their task that was given to them, and they did a great job. In shepherding these through, they partnered with the National Center for State Courts to develop draft complaint form and court user instructions. And those are in at the LAP, the recommendations number 62 and 63. Working with legal services, the Judicial Council staff also developed recommended procedures, including a long-term goal to develop a rule of court to make clear that all courts must develop a complaint form and process. Prior to the adoption of the new rule of court, which is going to take some time, courts will be able to use the model form and model procedures to set up their language access complaint process and allow court users to submit a complaint or make suggestions regarding language access. Is Kathy Chura on the phone? I don't know, from Legal Services Office.
I am.
Oh, good. Well, it's been nice to have working with her because we had some questions about what the process is going forward with the model form. She's assured us that the model complaint does not need to go through the Judicial Council's Rules and Projects Committee, that's RUPRO, because the form will be an administrative model form that the courts can adapt for local usage. That's still right, Kathy?
Yeah. Because it is not an official Judicial Council form, it does not need to be go through the whole form adoption process, because it'll just be a model form for use by the court.
That's great, because that really does extend the process out. Staff also shared the draft complaint packet with the Judicial Council Executive Office leadership, and Jody Patel has indicated that we don't need to submit the model complaint form and model procedures to EMP, the Executive and Planning Committee of the Council, because, once again, it's only a model form. It's not one of the types that would have to go through the whole process that would be in all other form approval processes. Once approved by the task force, the model complaint form, court user instructions, draft recommended procedures for handling complaints, and best practices would be put up on the California Court's website in the language access toolkit, and then also distributed to all 58 trial courts, and that would happen over the next couple of months. Courts would receive guidance on complaint form-related information to post on their web pages. The model form for superior courts would also be translated into multiple languages. The council has also established a section on the language access webpage for judicial council complaints, and court users would be able to fill out predefined fields for complaints regarding judicial council services. Translations on or forms hosted on the courts.ca.gov website. If desired, court users could fill out and submit a PDF version of the judicial council form as well. So they could either do it online or they could just mail it in. The complaint packet went through many, many rounds of review by the subcommittee and staff. During the review process, we also shared the complaint packet with the DOJ, and they provided additional input on what we should have with the complaint form and process. Following approval by the task force, courts will be able to use the model form and model procedures to develop their own local complaint processes. Separately, the budget and the LAP monitoring subcommittee will develop a corresponding rule of court and final recommended procedures for handling complaints that would perhaps augment the current draft procedures. Maybe not. We might just leave them the way they are. Might add some different procedures in their place. The final recommended procedures would outline the recommended processes for court users to submit complaints and courts to respond to complaints, provide the general time frame, say 90 days, to respond to the complaints, and provide additional guidance regarding complaints that may require additional investigation. That would be through the RUPRO rule process, and so that's a much more extensive process that will have to take place, and it will also involve necessarily all the materials and the proposed rule all going out for public comment. But we don't need to do that on this. What we presented today is the model rule. So at this time, the Budget and LAP Monitoring Subcommittee recommends that the task force first approve the model complaint form and procedures for distribution to all trial courts and posting on the Language Access Toolkit, and second, to proceed with development of a related rule of court. Make clear that all courts must develop a complaint form or process and process for dealing with that form. Those two prongs, one is that we approve the model complaint form to go out for distribution as well as the procedures and those things that are in your packet. And the second would be that we get authorized to go forward with creating a rule of court. Does anybody have any questions about any of this?
Judge Austin, thank you for that helpful overview. This is Justice Cuellar. I just want to observe two things that are really crucial about this whole exercise. One is recognizing that we still have some work to do with this rule, and that will require us to think hard about what's practical, but also the importance of making sure that we are responsive to these complaints. But even as that is pending, the steps we're taking with this form are, I think of them as really important, because I want folks to understand that they are part and parcel of a strategy the task force can have to really gather data seriously. We've got surveys. We obviously have informal communication with trial courts and whatnot, but you know, those instruments are only going to give us one part of the picture, and it'll be important for us to match that up with what's actually being reported to us from folks who have concerns. So as you look at the entire picture that emerges from all these data sources, I think we'll have a much better opportunity to pinpoint where the challenges are geographically as well as in terms of subject matter or theme issue. So I think it's a step forward.
Great.
Do we have a motion to approve the complaint packet?
So moved.
Ashley, I move.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Do we have a second?
Shalon, second.
Thank you, Justice. Any further discussion? If not, then all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Well, the packet is approved, and I'm grateful. Thank you, everyone. And now back to Judge Austin for our second item.
Well, next we're going to talk about the court web content guidance materials. Those are in your packets as well. As you know from my report at our May 20th business meeting, the Budget and LAP Monitoring Subcommittee has developed, with the assistance of NCFC, the draft court web content materials. The task force has heard through written and spoken public comments that court websites are not really accurate or up-to-date, and that language access information is often difficult to find and lacking on the websites. It's really an important area because it's the first spot of interface that the court has with most court users. Everybody goes to the websites, and if they can't find it there, it causes problems all down the line, especially if we are providing the services at the local court level but not letting people know about it, so they think they're not being provided. It's very important to make sure that there's access for the public to information regarding the services that are being provided. Web content guidance materials will be useful and helpful for courts to update their websites for consistency and uniformity throughout the state, including things like updating local language access and LEP plan web pages, website placement of language access information, use of universal language access icon, sample updated LEP plan templates, and effective web practices in the California courts. Web materials don't need to have full task force approval. However, if you have any thoughts or any input on the materials themselves or how to best distribute them and get them actually to be used at the local level, it would be great if you could let us know. The next step will be for staff to finalize and share the web packet with the courts and also to include it up on the toolkit. Do you have any questions about any of that or any thoughts on any of the materials?
Judge Austin, Judge Conklin, there's a thing, there's an app for that. Is there any thought, too, that an app might be appropriate? This looks like great stuff. I'm just trying to think of other ways that it could reach people.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I know we're starting to see more and more apps in a lot of different areas that have to do with the courts. Our local bar association has an app, and we're trying to get one and a couple of different kind of apps for self-represented litigants. I know at my court in Contra Costa.
Yeah, just a thought. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are very creative. I'm not one of them, but just a thought.
It might be worth looking into that. We can at least inquire to see if there would be the kind of support that we'd need in among staff to figure out who would actually be able to help us develop an app. At least it's a little bit more involved than actually putting a website together, but I think it's a really intriguing idea, particularly for folks who might be in a position where they're using our courts and language access related services repeatedly. We also might inquire just to see what courts have apps already to make sure that those apps might be updated to include language access related material.
This is Judge Covarrubias. I was wondering whether or not we could do anything maybe with the icon to publicize that as something for identification of language to the various ethnic media so they get out into the community so that they can be looking for a symbol or get some other exposure on there. We have it going on. People who may not have access to computers, but maybe get some more exposure through the icon, so they can look for a symbol to know they can identify what the symbol is. We know what the symbol is, but I'm not sure if the maybe more of the community would be able to identify with that icon now when they go out and either go into a court or look on the web and look for something in particular.
I think that's a great idea.
Suggestion. Yeah, that's a great idea. This is Douglas. And Judge Covarrubias, as part of our dissemination of these materials, we're going to encourage courts to use the icon. But I think that's something we can make more prevalent because
I know for universal signage, it's very relatable to people. So it's a good way to immediately direct people's attention who may not speak English.
Yeah. Thank you, Douglas.
Well, this is good stuff. I'm glad we're making progress, and in particular, these web guidelines are an ongoing project, so if people have other ideas or feedback, please send it to Judge Austin. Thank you, Judge Austin. Yeah, go ahead.
Brief comment. That it was fitting that Judge Covarrubias mentioned the icons, because speaking of icons, there's a wonderful article about Judge Covarrubias in the Daily Journal today. And a well-deserved, great comment. It mentions the language access plan and everything that Judge Covarrubias has done. And I just thought I'd make sure everybody had their attention there and they could take a look at it. Cause it's
indeed. I highly recommend it, and it's actually just been circulated by Doug, I believe, to the task force.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, I very much appreciate everyone's participation. We are going to continue to be in close contact to make sure that we get as much participation as possible in these calls, because we need your help and your input. And we are going to have a subcommittee chair's call sometime in August. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for your engagement, your concern about the issue. Judge Covarrubias and the subcommittee chairs and I will continue to forge ahead as much as we can. And we hope you very much enjoy the summer with family and friends. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.